I really had a good time with the Moses. How do you say this? I warned Elmi before I came, I'm going to zoom into her and like ask her all these questions. And she was like, come and give me your best, you know, type of thing. So I saw that as a challenge. And yeah, but it's really great. I told the guys, or some of you guys, that I've been here just before the Olympics when it was here in London. And I remember just praying that time and praying now. I can sense that you guys have done something right in the spirit. You know, it's just the church is definitely moving in the right direction. And yeah, I've been enjoying the whole camp and everything, and everyone is so friendly and relaxed. And yeah, it's great to be here. It's really a privilege. I might say a few funny English words. It's really fine if you want to laugh. I really don't mind. I will probably laugh at your Afrikaans too. So don't worry. You can laugh. Go for it. I want to show you the statement. You don't need to know the guy. He made this statement, and I want to hear from you. Do you agree with him or disagree with him? I'm known away. Can you guys see now? Can you see me? Can you? Well, you don't need to see me, but can you see the statement? I will not change my style. If I change my style, I will change Pieter de Villiers, and then I would. I thought I was bumping something. Then I would have to tell Gadi that he made a mistake when he made me. So, do you agree or disagree? His behavior style. Let's see, who of you agree with Pieter de Villiers? By the way, everyone's got like a vote. You know, so you must vote at some stage. Who of you disagree? So who of you don't know what to answer? Sorry? You agree? Okay. Oh my goodness, we've got like people now. It's after dinner. Let's see again. But this time you must vote off. You agree or disagree. You can't be in the middle. Who of you agree? I thought you voted you disagree now. Oh, you agree now. Who of you disagree? Renee, what did you vote? Yeah, you might say. Okay. If you agree with Tani Renee, well, some of you are easy to swing. We're going to talk about, in the next three sessions, actually, talk about, you can just show gift, slide number four there. We're going to talk about, or just remind you, you get gifts of the Holy Spirit, then gifts of the Son, which is the fivefold ministry, and then you get gifts of the Father. And if you can go to slide three, Don. Just for those that are very strong on do Yonko has his doctrine right in the next three sessions. There is two papers that you can go and read. So please don't come and ask me about the Greek for this word. Because on the end of this day, I can tell exactly what my agenda is. I want us to be able to work better in a team, to respect relationships, to respect people, to honor one another, and to celebrate the person God made in the other person. Okay? That's pretty much my whole agenda. So, I'm not trying to go here into the whole doctrine of gifts of the Father. But if you are interested, there is something that you can go and read for yourself. So yes, I'm going to read to you Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 14. It's basically the fivefold ministry, and he gave the apostles to the prophets, evangelists, apostles, and teachers for a very important thing, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. In this case, you guys are the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. All of this whole process going on till to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed and thrown by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So, basically, we've got the gifts of the fivefold ministry, and one of the things that in this fivefold ministry is that the leadership or the people standing in that office is supposed to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And one of the default, I want to say, byproducts is a place of getting to the fullness of Christ. So when we allow ourselves as the saints to be equipped by leadership, and we, in a sense, submit to that, but at the same time, we do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. If we do all these things, it's like God says, well, I will take responsibility to help you in your process, in growing in your character to that fullness of Christ. Are you all with me? So, then you get the Holy Spirit gifts. I'm going to quickly read to you Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Let him do it cheerfully. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, why I love this next session, you can go where the wheels is down. In my PowerPoint, it turns. Why doesn't it turn in your PowerPoint? In my, I don't know if you guys can see, mine is like a, it turns. But at least there's arrows to show you how it should turn. And basically, oh, there you go. So basically, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's the gifts of the fivefold ministry, and then it is us doing the work of the ministry. And if all these things work together, God actually helps us to get at that place of fullness of Christ. Okay? If I was the devil, I would try and just get my finger or the spanner into one of those. And I pretty much got you. A lot of people, actually these days, want to go on a course or read a book or do their own thing to grow in their own character to that fullness of Christ. And actually not just allow themselves into, I want to say, go into the river of God or in His recipe and allow Him to build in your character. Are you all with me? That's pretty much one of the biggest mistakes that we see around these days, and that people obviously want it, they want to grow in their character and they want to do it quickly. where God actually says, now you do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. You allow that to be done under leadership that can equip you how to do it. Then I will make sure you grow in your maturity. Does it make sense to all of you? So for me, that is really my heart also, is to see everyone understand that, first of all. And secondly, to understand where do the devil like to trick you. So that you can know, don't allow him to trick you into one of these things. You know, it's the same. I often see this, where people, when they try to take a shortcut with God in getting more mature, you will usually find also that that person will say, I've grown so much, and some book, course, person will get the glory, rather than God should get the glory. Are you all with me? So, I want you to, you've got two pieces of paper. Oh, and you move away. You can go to the previous slide. And the light that flickered didn't bother you. So you've got two pieces of paper. The one is one page with a lot of words on. Yes, that one. The next few minutes, I want you to pick the 10 words that describe you the best. 10. Only 10. No more than 10. Not 11. 10. And remember, you can't fail this test. You can't fail. You can, however, sin. If you lie. So pick the 10 words. Most of them are quite good words. You pick the words of that describe you best. If your husband or wife is next to you, they might look over just to make sure you didn't lie and need to repent later. Yes. Remember, this is not how you think Jesus is or how you hope to be one day. This is just you. And don't worry, we're not going to box you into, we're not going to put it in CCB, for those that know CCB. It's our database. Don't worry, we won't put it in there yet. Pick the 10 words that describe you best. For those that's from South Africa and very Afrikaans like myself, do all of you know what the word frugal means? Frugal means spaarzamer. Nee, spaarzamer. Huh? Careful, spaarzamer. Tightening the belt in your quiet time. Now, if you go on there 7 gifts, that means it's 49 different combinations. So God actually has this ability to talk each one in a way that you understand it. Isn't that amazing? And for me, true humility is that when you want to honor someone so much that you rather want to speak it in that person's way. You know, so you will find sometimes, I usually see this in a small group, you've got, let's say, a very strong teacher, and they will come into the small group and they will say, this is so amazing, God gave me Psalm 24, verse 5. And then they read it and they're like, isn't that amazing? And the rest of the small group is like, I suppose we to like look, you know, happy, and but we don't know what you're talking about, you know, type of thing. They think it. They won't necessarily say it. They're like, oh, that's cool, you know. And then afterwards, you can see that teacher don't understand. Why didn't they understand? I gave them that word, you know. Or someone will come and tell. I discussed. You all met Heinrich, eh? Some of you, he was here the other day. You will see he's strong on mercy. And he was telling this story of doing a mission trip to Springbok. And he's like telling us exactly how the people, with the things they're going through and stuff. And you will see, I will tell you, I'm not strong on mercy. And I'm wanting to buy into this now. And he nearly got me. And then on the end, he was like, to give you an idea how it must feel, it's like when someone don't give you a hug for 2 days. And I was like, no, you totally lost me just there now. That doesn't sound that bad at all. It's like... So it's the different giftings. But to learn to understand them. So you have this person in a small group telling you about the this and this, and the rest is like, you know, but the amazing thing, God can speak in the way that you understand. So to have that, and always remember that, have the humility that when you speak to someone, that's why Carlos would say, I ask questions. So a lot of times I ask questions because I actually want to get to know the person. Of course, if I know the person, I can see, can I challenge this person or must I just motivate the person? Because some people like to be challenged, and some people, if you challenge them, they're already like, what? Now you're hurting me, type of thing. So to really learn how to speak to people. Okay, are everyone finished? Are you ready? Just quickly, there's the different giftings. It's a prophet, ministry, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruler, organization, or leadership, and then mercy. That's the different types. And I want to say, we're gonna go through each of them in this session and in the next 2 sessions. We're not going to cover all of them tonight. I will try not to go over my time. I didn't actually get a time limit. But what do you say? But I will see when you guys are not listening anymore. But we've got enough time. So what I will be doing is going through each gifting, and I will focus on the good traits, but also some of the weaknesses of each gifting. A lot of times when we hear these type of ministry or teaching, a lot of people usually talk about the great things and the positive things, but there's actually a few weaknesses and blind spots also going with each gifting. And I'm actually going to focus on that. And the idea of that is actually just to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. To say, yes, this is an area which you should be able to focus in, let's say, for the next year. Okay, so the idea is not to walk out here to say, I am a prophet, or I am mercy. The idea is not to, you know, box yourself in or to label yourself, but rather understand which one you are, because you can actually be a little bit of all of them. Okay? So there might be things in the one that you will see that strength in your life, but you might see a few weaknesses in another gifting. So just allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Okay? This is not to try to, yes, say you are the one or not the other. So the first one, how it's going to work, I'm going to read the words that's, for example, on a prophet. And if you circle one of these words or 2 words or 3 words, then you will recognize it. And you basically just count for on a, let's say, prophet. So if we can go to prophet, the first one. So typical prophet, they are black and white people, uncompromising, to the point, fearless, make quick decisions, sometimes perceived as critical, can discern motives, struggle to understand backsliders, like to be challenged. Repentance is key to growth. So who have you encircled 2 or more on prophet? Okay, let's lift up your hands. We can see who 2 or more. Okay. So let's go through some of the behavior traits that you'll find in a prophet. They will be preaching about there is one way to follow God, and there it is. They don't like this. Even if those of you have heard me preach, or even this, I fall into prophet. I can already warn some of you. And so for me, it's like there's only one way to go to that fullness of Christ. Allow God to do it. You know, there's no book, no course. This is it, okay? Don't like surprises. Don't like broken promises. They've got a deep desire to bring order into situations. If you can you agree with that? Those that picked up as prophet. It's actually nice. If you agree with it, just go like, I don't want to West Elmery wave a white flag or something, but just go like, yes, I can associate with that. They're quick to the point, quick to point out with love faults in other people. They want to improve things all the time. They cannot tolerate bondage or being closed in. And they shift gears very quickly, and they enjoy new things. Can you associate with that? They're extremely opinionated. Can those very extreme opinionated people just please put up their hands again? Can those that are very extremely opinionated just put up their hands again? So if you now, the rest of you should actually look around. Next time in a group discussion, if they always opinionated, blame God. You know. But now we're getting back to what that statement right at the beginning. You might be opinionated, but doesn't need you always need to give your opinion. So when we talk here about it's actually in this case it might be an immaturity of you feel you must always give your opinion. But yes, it's a behavior style. So an immature prophet will always give their opinion. A more mature one, yes, you will have it, but you will not necessarily give it. Are you all with me? But at the same time, if you now see one of your friends or one of the people in your small group is a prophet, also have grace for them when they give their opinion. Are you with me? Okay? So you will see all of these things help you to understand you better, but also to understand the other person better. Interesting, I don't know how holidays work, but a typical prophet, if when they go on holiday, they will have the destination. And again, it's like we're driving on this road to the destination, we're not going to stop next to the road. You know, so if you're like me with a lot of children, we're going to pee-pee now, not pee-pee anymore. You know, it's pee-pee now and then on the end, you know. So that's like a typical prophet. Immature one. That was so opinionated. So let's go on the immature traits of a prophet. Because of the discernment, he becomes critical and negative. Okay? You will see these things in your note, but I'm going to share a few things that's not in your note just to help keep you awake. So, especially if you feel it is applicable to you. A typical prophet, where they're immature, has this ability to correcting people who are not their responsibilities. Did you hear me? This is quite an important one. So sometimes in church you might, or even a small group, hear someone say something in a certain way, or even worship in a certain way, or do a certain thing in church, and you, the prophet, feels it's your responsibility to go and fix that person. But a lot of times, thanks, servant. This was the gifting, sir. I will get to it, actually. Okay, so sometimes not everyone is your responsibility. So in a small group, you're not a small group facilitator. You don't need to fix everyone, okay? Very important. looking for the problems and seeing the problems. You know, we tend to see more problems in people's life than actually necessarily the strength. Hello? Okay. Jumping to conclusions, making assumptions. You will see one of the tips I will always have for a prophet is ask questions. Because sometimes, yes, you will have the discernment, but then test your assumption before you actually see your own assumption as a conclusion. Okay? Sometimes a prophet will reinforce a condemning spirit. I know for myself, this is something, especially when I preach, that's why the people at London, I would right in the beginning say this. If you ever feel condemned or ashamed in my preaching, just give it to God. It's not from God, because God don't want us to be feel condemned and ashamed and guilty, all those things. But the typical prophet, in their way of preaching, in their way of facilitation, in their way of talking to people, you will actually show out some of the mistakes in their lives, and they will actually feel condemned. Okay? So it's actually, if you're a prophet, be aware of that. And at the same time, if you work with someone like the prophets around here, and you feel challenged or condemned, also understand, it's not that they don't do it from a place of love. It's like a weakness or immaturity in their gifting. Okay? But at the same time, they're the best people also to help with this. Okay? Judging and exposing an offender rather than restoring the offender. Okay? Did you write it down? Especially those prophets, that's not in the notes. They're deeply concerned about the spiritual condition of others and can be quite frank in dealing with those spiritual needs. Being insensitive to people's feelings, or overly harsh about sin. I've pretty much mentioned this, but it's not in your notes. Dwelling on the negative rather on the positive. If you do what we don't know how many of you know, a SWOT analysis. Do you all know that? Strength, weakness, risk. What's a T for opportunities? If you ask the prophet, he can tell you exactly all the weaknesses. You know, he will like, yes, this, 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 and this. But if you ask them what is the strength or even opportunities, they will like, this, those two. Are you with me? Lacking cautiousness and tactfulness in expressing opinions. Okay? Demanding a positive response to a harsh rebuke. Again, you need to understand the way God wired a prophet. And you will see just now the mercy person is exactly the opposite of the prophet. And I've seen this even in our working place. There's this one lady, Christelle Meiberg, Anton, and I think also was here. With Heinrich, actually, I think. Hey? Now, his wife has very strong mercy. And at some stage, she said something in one of our staff meetings. And I went to her and said, no, you can't say stuff like that in a staff meeting. So we had this meeting afterwards. And now you will see where sometimes conflict come in. She's mercy, opposite the prophet. She doesn't like conflict. She doesn't like to hurt people. My case, I'm very principle-driven. And I'm like, I saw here, she needs to repent of something now. Now, when she repents, she says basically, I'm sorry that I did the wrong thing to you. Now, being a prophet, I'm like, no, that's not the problem here. I want you to repent because you said that thing and that means this and this and this. So I'm like telling, no, you mustn't repent to me. You must repent for saying this and this and this. And then at some stage, she's like, what do you want me to do? I'm repenting here, you know? And so you immediately got a conflict in a relationship here. Because I see repentance as you saying, I'm sorry for, let's say, being rebellious. In her case, a mercy person sees repentance, I'm sorry for hurting you. That's how they see repentance. So on the end of the day, I feel that she didn't repent, and she feels, goodness, this guy just, you can't make him, you know, satisfy him. You know, it's like he keep on going on this. So to understand again each other's or the different type of gifting, they shift gears very quickly. If the person is immature, again, you will see I'm going to pretty much talk a lot of out of my own life because I'm a good example sometimes of how not to do it, but I've grown in most of these things. When I was still a zone coach or the person looking after the small group facilitator or small groups, I knew that if God says we went, go from point A to D, in my mind we'll pretty much make a straight line to D and say let's go. And sometimes even communicating that, you won't necessarily communicate it with enough love and patience. So even in my I want to say meetings or small groups, I always had this one guy which was also strong in mercy next to me. And I'd ask him to help me with this. If I'm going too fast with the group before me, just remind me. So he used to do this. If I was going too quickly, he would go like this. But Yankor, where's the love? Where's the love? And for me, it was like, he's just showing me, okay, I'm going, you know, we actually need to talk about point B and C before we can talk about point D. So a lot of times you will see, and this is the amazing thing of God, He made all of us in such a way that we need other people. None of us can do what we do by ourselves. We all need the other giftings. So if you know you're a very strong prophet, get a mercy person to help you. Are you with me? Okay. They're terrible maintainers. They also, as they condemn others, they also have the tendency to condemn themselves. So they're very harsh on themselves. Yes, maintaining relationships also. Maintaining like a project also. Because they also like new things. You will see right in the end, I'm going to summarize all the giftings. And one of the things of a prophet is they're visionaries. So they actually do want to go, just move forward. They get frustrated staying at the same place because they want to move forward. Yeah, so they're condemning themselves. That's why you will find, if you would ask a prophet, a person with a strong gifting of prophet, what is the weaknesses in your life? They will go like this, 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 and this. They don't have any issue telling you about all their own weaknesses. My wife is on her way. She's on the airplane. I missed her, so I'm just going to see her tomorrow for the first time in quite a few days. And I am a bit weird, so if some of you find me weird, it's fine. You know, don't feel bad about it. But even when I asked my wife out to marry her, not to marry, when we started going out, this is me. I'd say to my wife, listen, I'm going to share all my weaknesses now to you and my strength. And then you need to go and pray about this. If you want a husband with all of this and this. So I was like mentioning all my weaknesses and everything. And now I'm very spiritual with her. And I'm like, you know, now go and pray about it. And when I look at her, she was typing on her cell phone. I was like, what are you doing? And she said, now I'm letting my friends know we're going out. And I was like, but I asked you to go and pray about it. She was like, I was praying 5 years for this. But anyway, so that was me. I told exactly all of my weaknesses long before we got married. So when we got married, you can ask my wife. I don't think I've surprised her with another weakness. I was like, whole list there. I must quickly tell you this story. It's nothing to do with this. The previous night, before asking her out, I had this whole thing planned. That exactly 10 o'clock, I'm going to ask her out. And that was in that stage where a cell phone was quite new. And my mom actually had a cell phone, but she didn't SMS or call, you know. This was quite new, especially to the older people. But my mom, I know her, she and God's like this. I've never caught out my mom when she says, God says, that she's actually wrong. So anyway, at some stage, I moved so forward on the couch to just start talking there. Now, this is 10 o'clock. You know, my mom's supposed to sleep now. And I got this SMS from her, and she say in the SMS, you're going to make a decision now. This decision, you're going to fall or climb, I can't exactly remember, in a hole, and I'm going to lose you. So I was like, okay, Tata Sandra. And so through the next day, I was like actually now praying it, and I got some people to pray with me. And at some stage, I said, no, God's just preparing your mom. You're going to make a decision where she's going to lose you, and you're going to get in a trap where you're never going to get out. And but yeah, so that is a story just for free. Some more immaturities of a prophet. They prefer truth over relationships. They will rather fight for the truth than the relationship. Are you all with me? If you're a strong prophet, obviously, like Fred also shared and Hercules, we're supposed to put relationships before truth. Even if it sometimes feels the other way, that you should do it the other way. See, relationship is sentimental. Sometimes a prophet is not, you know, but they will win the battle, but they will lose the war. They're too focused on the end goal. The biggest sin in their minds is to compromise. Okay, again, if you know of a prophet friend and you just show signs of compromise, they're not going to like it. Are you with me? Fiercely competitive. So those who played some volleyball today, yeah. They doesn't maintain past relationships well once they've moved on. Very hard on themselves, fiercely denounce themselves, cannot tolerate denial. When people won't face their own issues or consequences. Some tips for the prophet. Ask questions to test your assumptions. I've already said that. Work well in a team with the mercy person. I've also already mentioned the next point. In a meeting, a lot of you is gonna. In a meeting, a prophet will want to know what is the final discussion. Is it and let all stick to it, but he needs to listen to the others as well. Underpromise and overdeliver when working with a prophet. Someone like James, in the book of James, when he says, "Let your yes be your yes and your no your no." All the prophets will, and that's a good verse. Are you with me? So, if you tell a prophet you're going to be at the small group at 7 o'clock, and you're not at 7 o'clock, in their mind, you are compromising. You said you're going to be there. You know, it's sin in their mind. Okay, so understand that. Accept that others will also have good ideas. You won't always know the best. And another one is important. Don't interrupt a prophet in a conversation. And Tani Rani, you're fine with that. You're okay with that. Okay. Learn to leave things in God's hand. Learn to trust Him and not fix everything yourself. Some examples in the Bible of prophets is Paul, James, the author of Paul. Some people that you might know. You can go next one. Of modern prophets. Some pictures that describe the prophet. I like this one. I do it because I can. I can because I want to. And I want to because you said I couldn't. That pretty much that pretty much summarizes a prophet. Everything is possible. They don't like to go like, you know, straight line is a right and a wrong. Who of the prophets could associate with some of this stuff? Okay. Did it help? Did you learn something? Let's go to the mercy. That's the one that always work well with a prophet. Words describing the mercy person, heart for the poor, they're compassionate. Don't like to be pushed for a decision. Sensitive. Feels the pain of other. Easily hurt. Don't like insensitive people. They avoid conflict. attracted to brokenhearted and notice the outcast. Who if you've got two or more on these? Quite a few mercy. Where I can usually see there's a lot of mercy people in a crowd is when Hercules tells the story of the swimmer that swim the wrong style. Then you always get the people in the crowd like, oh. And Hercules is actually trying to give over a principle. And the mercy people are like, couldn't someone help her? You know, where was her mom? Where was her mom? You know? You know, did someone give her a hug? You know, what's... I've seen this. People actually don't listen to the rest of his story. You know, I hope you can remember the story. The last time I did a course like this, when I asked who's the mercy people, pretty much the whole church put up their hands. And you also see this. When you've got a pastor that's at the church, let's say for 6 years or longer, usually the whole second tier of leadership become just like him. Which is not a good thing. And I will, the very last session, we will actually focus on you as a group. Because if everyone thinks the same in a group, it's not a healthy group. So even if you're a leader and you pick the same type of people just under you, it's imbalanced. Something is not actually right. So in your team, even as a small group, ideally, you want something of every gifting, and the leader should have the humility and the security to, in a sense, empower each gifting in the group. Okay. Behavior from a mercy has few enemies, gets along with everyone. Makes people feel accepted and safe. A safe place for people to bear their entire soul. Sense when wounded and rejected people are in the room. If you can associate with that, just put up your hand. Will keep you awake also. Always notice the poor and needy outcast. Good in cross-cultural ministry. They see the needs and not the culture. Sees old people that need chairs when standing in long queues. Let me explain this one quickly. Quickly put up again, who's the mercy people? Think of when you go on holiday. I'm going to explain the opposite here. I wish Christelle was here to explain for the mercy side. When I get to a border, even here in the kitchen or a lot of places, the first thing I see is, we can change this system here. You know, there's some, if we just change that, we can do much better here. Can we just bring a bit of order here? You know, somebody really needs to help these people, you know, type of thing. When a mercy person comes to, let's say, to a border post or something, they like, can't they just let the older people go to the front? Isn't there chairs for those people? And even would feel a bit guilty for the fact that they're actually going on holiday. Because they're not so privileged and there's so many other many people that don't have that privilege. Now, for those that opposite the mercy, the prophets, no, they don't feel that at all. And like, we're going on holiday. So when their children are sick, they like to stay home and nurture their kids. A prophet will go like, what was the open door? We need to fix the open door. Let's, you know, type of thing. Can you associate? Designed for intimacy, which transcends to physical needs, hugs and touch. They love worship. They does not hold onto offense. Now, when it comes to immaturity of the mercy, and again, this is only when that gifting is not mature, okay? They forgive easily except when friends or family are offended. This is actually quite important ones. So your mercy people don't take offense easy from themselves, but for someone else. So we often find that people, even in church, they still offended because someone got hurt, another person. The chance is good that person's actually sorted out their own offense, but a mercy person is still offended for that person's sake. If you know you're a strong mercy person, be aware of this. You're not supposed to get offended for other people's sake. Are you with me? You're not supposed to hold an offense. Okay. slow to make transition, not of the will but of emotional processing. How those gifted with mercy can misuse their gift, failing to be firm and decisive when necessary. Does it make sense? Basing decisions on emotions rather on reason. Another thing, this is not necessary with some of you guys might experience this, but especially let's say you're a counselor or a small group facilitator or a pastor that's strong in mercy. Usually when you do counseling, it's good to have a third party in the room for the very simple reason. A typical mercy person will give a lot of hugs, but let's say a male is doing counseling to a female, or other way around, doing all those hugs might send out the wrong signal. A typical prophet won't do necessarily all those hugs and all that touching, feeling thing, but therefore, for people with strong gifting of mercy, have a third person there to always make sure there's no funny things happening. Know the heart of God, it's difficult explaining the why, they just know it. They hate to confront or they desire to bring comfort, feels guilty about what I have, leads and make decisions based on feelings. Cutting off, this is not your notes, cutting off fellowship with those who are insensitive to others. Reacting to God's purposes in allowing God people to suffer. This is an important one. I've seen this also quite a few times. Where someone will, a typical mercy person, if I do small group training, I usually use this example. What's the difference between the good father and the good shepherd? Sheep one, number 100 go astray, and the good shepherd goes after sheep number 100. The good father allowed the prodigal son to go off, but he doesn't go after him. What's the difference between the two of them? In the one case, the sheep number 100 got astray. The chance is good is in his immaturity, gullible, he got astray. In such a case, we always fight for that relation. We always go after such a person. In the case of the prodigal son, he knew exactly what he was doing. He actually counted the cost. Are you with me? In such a case, there's more love in allowing that person to go. Are you with me? If you have very strong mercy, you would like to go after that person. Are you with me? And not allowing God actually to come and do the healing that he needs to do in that person's life. The interesting thing is, with the prodigal son, you will see when, before he returned, he actually repented. But did you ever read, to whom do he repent first? God. And then he goes back to his father. So God brought that repentance. Typical mercy people, they want to interfere with the discipline that God wants to do in people's life. Does that make sense? So sometimes, now you understand also why it's good to have a prophet with a mercy person when doing counseling. Because the prophet will tell the mercy person, we need to let this one go now. The same time if the prophet doing counseling, the mercy person will say, no, we need to show compassion now. So the right answer is in between. Okay. Does that help? Sometimes a mercy person can establish friendships, possessive friendships with others because they are so close to that person. Okay, next one. Needs to learn that people with less compassion than them give tough love and are not harsh or bullying them. That is how they work and still they still love. Be careful not to use your gift as emotional manipulation and stop blaming external circumstances for most things. Also, not everyone thinks like you'd think. Not everyone looks at the world like you do. Not everyone can be like you. And this is it. Now, the next one is a tip for the people that's not mercy. Don't make fun of people in the presence of a mercy person. Who of you guys know who Oscar Pistorius is? I think most of you will. You will find when people make jokes of Oscar in the presence of a mercy person will not laugh. They just don't think it's funny. So understand, be sensitive to mercy. I mean, obviously, we shouldn't make fun at any person. But you understand, with a mercy person, this is not good at all. Some examples in the Bible, the Good Samaritan, Apostle John. An example of mercy person is Mother Teresa. And some pictures to show typical mercy people. Hugs, a lot of hugs. Could all the mercy people associate? Just put up your hand if you learned something. Did you learn something? Okay, the next one is a ruler. Let's go through the... And I think I will end off with this one. They're goal-driven, self-discipline, purpose-driven, implementers, see potential in others, prone to take the lead, systematic, function well under pressure, always busy, and likes delegating. Who have you got two or more on this one? Just put up your hands again. Okay. Let's go through some of the behavior styles. They're always early on time. Are you like, no, that's not me. Yeah. Taking the lead, like to be in charge. They like to organize, break down a vision into incremental steps. They're usually very good administrators. They're your overall picture, long-term type person. I think Richard Wade was also here. Eh? Some of you met Richard Wade, he played guitar also. He's a very strong ruler. Strong presence when entering a room. He is extremely concerned about loyalty. Is that true? Doesn't need affirmation to do their job. Always want things to be bigger and better. They've got strong direction. They can employ and work with imperfect people and can also bring the best out of that person. They sometimes struggle to work with a prophet. Because a prophet will, when they employ or get someone in a team, the prophet will go, I want to say, is everything in place in this person's character? Where the leader will go for, but he has the skill to do the job. So a typical prophet and a leader, there's a place of conflict right there. The prophet will want to know, is it a good person? Hercules is a bit of a ruler. So I even know at HQ when we employ people, Hercules will always go like this. No, we must get this person. She is amazing. And then I'm usually the one but we don't employ amazing people. We employ people that can actually, you know, do the job, you know, type of thing. But Hercules, he just thinks everyone is amazing. So sometimes I will have to, Hercules, I really don't see what you see in that person, you know. But we can try this, but, you know, type of thing. Okay, they will set priorities in place and act on it. They're usually very hard workers, a lot of stamina, motivate and facilitate people well, activate ideas but not implement it. Okay, take things that are in place and make it better. Now, some of the immaturities of the rulers. Not generally spontaneous, doesn't change schedules and plans easily, doesn't like to be micromanaged. If you're a pastor and you've got a ruler in your church, they don't like to be micromanaged. So who's the rulers in there? Just put up your hands again. Put up your hand if you don't like to be micromanaged. David, you're looking around, eh? Does not typically volunteer, wants to be asked. Okay? If you're the pastor, you need to ask that person. He's not going to volunteer. Some of the things that's not in your notes. A ruler or administrator can misuse their gift, viewing people as a human resource rather than a human being. They can be using people to accomplish their personal ambitions, showing favoritism to those who appear to be more loyal. Okay, did you got it? Has trouble recognizing when they are wrong. Doesn't believe they can be. Who's the rulers again? And now they don't put up their hands because they can't be wrong. Yes, that is the case, yeah. Doesn't like it when people break their speed. Applies constant pressure to the work or ministry or home environment. Taking charge of projects, this is not in your notes, taking charge of projects which were not God's direction. A typical, this is again for you guys being in church, they would like to rather be more strategic than even waiting for God to speak. So they will see the problem in church and want to help with that, but from a strategic point of view. Are you with me? That's a weakness actually also. It's a strength and a weakness. So now you're going to probably understand some of your conflict with your leaders. Delegating too much work to others. Overlooking serious character faults in valuable workers. That's me and Hercules conflicting sometimes. Takes credit for results without recognizing, valuing the contributions of others. Leads others by control. The deadline is more important than the people involved. They find their value in work and accomplishments instead of in God. I think even Fred's sermon today would challenge especially a ruler. Some of the things that's not in your notes, being unresponsive to the suggestions and appeals of others, failing to give proper explanations and praise to workers. And then some tips for the ruler. Pressure is not always a good thing for others. So a typical ruler loves pressure, but that doesn't mean the people around you like it. Okay. Did someone actually say amen? You need to sometimes stand still, and the Great Commission is more important than the Great Commandment. Some people that you know, Noah is a very good example, and here you can see the strength of this type of person in a team. God gave the vision, Noah built the ark. Only a very good ruler could build the ark. Because that's someone that has the ability to take a vision and break it down, knowing what to do systematically. Okay. And you don't need to micromanage. They will finish the job. Okay. People that you might know that's also rulers, Margaret Thatcher and Winston Churchill. A picture explaining the ruler. Next one. There you go. They love to show the direction, the way forward. Should we go to the next one, or you should do it tomorrow? Can we do the next one? Are you fine? On the left, organizing thinking. Your typical administrator or leader will know exactly. I want to use this strip as an example. You know, Pastor Fred and Heracles is going back to early. There wasn't a ruler involved in this decision making. My wife coming, she can do this. When she got the program, she's like, there's a fault. And I was like, what? What? She's like, no, there's a session after the air ticket, you know, or the plane ticket. So yes, so that's the biggest. So they can think of all the things that still need to happen. Okay, so let's go to the next one, servant. The servant and the ruler, they're Mikeys. They're going together as a pair. They work together well. Commitment means equal serving. Enjoys meeting practical needs. Always want to help. Enjoying manual projects. They're very loyal. Not focused on own needs. Eager to offer help. Likes cleaning up. Hospitality. Behind the scenes type of person. Who of you had two or more on this one? I knew, David, you were one. I was waiting for this moment. Just put up your hands again. Okay, cool. Let's go. They're concerned about the comfort of others. They're very strong in obedience. They've got few enemies. They extend honor to others. I mean, did you hear David when he introduced Fred? Loyal, fierce, and anger when close friends and friends or family are hurt. It's a bit like the mercy person. Very sentimental, saves and keeps stuff. My wife is servant. And we keep all the boxes. Like all the boxes. So I would like go in the garage and be like, why do we need this box? Then she would usually have the answer, because let's say that toaster breaks down, we still have the box to give it back now. Then I'm usually like, I can get this, but what about this one? It's a nice box. So a typical servant loves to be sentimental. They don't like to throw things away. Works very hard. Have absolutely no desire to make a name for themselves or build their own kingdom. No selfish ambition. Now all the rest that's not servants is like, oh, that's a nice one to have. Adaptable, go with the flow, not looking for reward, sacrificial in serving, don't like conflict, want to make peace. Interesting thing of a servant is that if you would go to their house, it's not always that neat. They're very good servants outside of their house. That's just interested. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. They're the typical people that will remember how you like your coffee, how do you like, you know, milk and all those things, how many sugar. And they will even, when they serve you, they will even use their own money to serve you. Okay? Interesting enough, this is actually immaturity of a servant, is that even when they offer you coffee, they will even apologize that the milk is not the right temperature. Who if you can associate with such as, oh, some of you can, you say yes. I'm like, I'm just glad I remember offering coffee. Gets over busy and can't say no easily to people. Let me quickly stick on that one. In a working environment, we've got quite a few servant type people at HQ. And especially if you're more dominant, like the ruler or the prophet, you know the servant people, they can like, the guy doing IT, he can be on his way to Carlos to go and help with his IT. But if you along the way ask him, Keith, can you quickly help me? Yes. And he will leave Carlos just there. And first help David. So they're not very good at long-term projects, but very good at short-term projects. because they actually get distracted very easily to help. Whoever asks, they will help immediately. Okay? Now you understand why the servant needs the ruler. The ruler likes to prioritize things. So when you've got a lot of servants, you put a good ruler over them to help them to say, no, Carlos' project is actually more important than David's project. So go and help Carlos, okay? They're not good with personal boundaries. What this means is, I've shared actually today a story about this for Alistair. I once went on a visit, and afterwards the pastor invited me to go with him to a certain place, and I was on a long flight, so I just quickly took new clothes. When I came back, the servant type person rearranged my clothes in my, what is it, TAS suitcase. I was like, what on earth is happening here? No, not with you, with the suitcase now, you know. So that's where typically a servant will actually, like, even when they give you food, they would like, you know, did you have enough? And you're like, yes. And are you sure? You know, and you're like, yes, yes. This, and you actually want to sell to this is boundary, okay? But we can't really do it to a typical servant person. So that's what it means by don't. So they would often actually help with things before you actually ask for help. So a good tip for a servant is actually, do you want me to help you? Before just helping, okay? Yes, can be intrusive if not checked. Over-apologize, I've already mentioned it. Some of the things, it's not in your notes. Oh, well, I already mentioned it. Neglecting home responsibilities to help others. Accepting too many jobs at one time. Wearing themselves out physically. Okay, service are wonderful one-day jobs and short-range goals, but can get sidetracked by immediate needs when working on long-range projects. Uses religious activity or serving to please God and can therefore be even a bit performance-orientated. I don't know if it's in my notes, maybe it is. I've also seen this, that a typical servant will, in his immaturity, remember? In immaturity, will even delegate spiritual warfare to other people. They don't see themselves as that spiritual, having that spiritual authority, but they would rather serve. So even at HQ, again, as I said, I know there's quite a lot of servants. So when we do intercession, I usually put them together because someone needs to pray then. You know? Otherwise, if the servant is in a group with other people, other giftings, they usually don't pray. They just keep on quiet and rather will allow someone else to pray. Which is obviously a lie, okay? Being too persistent in giving unrequested help to others, going around proper authorities in order to get the job done. So again, that's part of that being, in a sense, intrusive. So they will see the need and even do it without even asking, let's say, the pastor or the leaders, permission. Excluding others from helping on the job. That's also an important one, especially if you're the leader. More is poor self-image, doesn't think that they matter as a person. Enables poor character and dysfunctional behavior in others instead of empowering them to change. Passes the work of spiritual warfare to others they think are more qualified. That one I already mentioned. The servant's more or less the same as the mercy person. This is not in your notes. Interfering with God's discipline by premature helping people. Okay? So sometimes God wants that person to, let's say, struggle a bit more, where the servant really wants to go and help with that. Becoming hurt by ungratefulness of those who were helped. Tips for a servant, ask if someone wants the help. Learn what are the priorities in situations and then say no when it's not a priority. Again, you will see here the ruler and the mercy, the servant working well together. In my case, my PA back in Franschhoek, she is an extremely strong servant, Ilse, for those that know her. And that is another thing of servant. They struggle to say no. They pretty much say yes to everyone. So on some stage, when I walk into my own office, there will be a lot of other rulers and prophets giving my PA jobs. And she say yes to everyone. And she will go and do it, even if she have to do it all through the night, but she can't say no. So at some stage, I said to her, Ilse, you do understand that some of the stuff I give you get neglected. But I understand you can't say no. So let's help you with this. If someone asks you again for a job, except not myself, say you really want to do this, but please just get Janko's permission. And then I will say, then I will help you. And because I'm a bit of a prophet, nobody do that. So they leave Ilse. So Ilse only got me now. Some examples. Yeah, just one of the tips. Don't overcommit. Rather do fewer things well than too many things poorly. Example of serving in the Bible, Martha, Abram. Abram is an interesting one. So the angels appear at Abram. Now, you must lift yourself into this one. The angels appear before you. What would be your first response? I've got so many questions. Abram would go like, are you hungry? I mean, of all the things he could have done, are you hungry? Okay, just wait. I will go and, you know, I think it's 21 liters of tau, or say dir. You know, so servant, you know. I wouldn't think of, hey, angels, are you hungry? Type of thing. A typical picture of a servant is Nelson Mandela. And there's just the next one is a picture of a serving person. Did you learn something? Could you guys associate? Cool. I'm going to end off here. And then we'll be going on tomorrow morning with the others. Are you enjoying this? But were you convicted on a few things? So, are you enjoying this? Yes! Were you convicted of a few? Okay, I'm just going to close off in prayer. Father, we want to thank you already that, God, you've made us so interesting, Father God, and unique. And Father, and somehow you understand all of us. Father, you know exactly how to talk to us, how to communicate, how to handle us. And Father, I pray, God, even as we go to bed tonight and sleep, Father God, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will come and really talk to us in the ways that we communicate and especially the way we look at people. I pray, God, that in today and tomorrow, Father God, you will come and give us new eyes, Father God, to see people in the way that you see them. I pray, God, really that we will come and get to that place that in any circumstances, we will always first seek to honor people. I pray, God, you will really come and give us an excitement of people around us, in our team, and even in our church. Father God, that we can enjoy that person that you've given us in that relationship. I pray, God, even that we will see it as a principle of stewardship. Father God, knowing that this person is a gift from you. And I pray, God, that you will come and help and really speak to us, Father God, to, yes, also understand us, ourselves better, Father God, and even in a sense make a peace of the person as we made, Father God. And I come against any lying spirit or the devil trying to tell us what we're not, in a way to bring us in that shame and guilt. But I pray, God, that after this session, Father God, we will walk out, Father God, and say, thank God that we are where we are, Father God. And I thank you, God, that for the sessions to come, that your Holy Spirit is the teacher, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.